So you get excited because they're excited, gets me excited, gets all of our fans excited, and our sponsors. So it's going to work out.
Bless you, boys! Unbelievable! I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
Step into the well-informed, ill-advised, and oddly entertaining world of Talkin' Sports.
Here we go!
Light the candle!
How's it going, everybody? Welcome to Talkin' Sports. We've got tons to get to this time, but on the phone with us today is a rather hurting unit, a guy who's turning 35 years old today but started his celebrations a little early. Matt Lang is back on the show. What's happening, my man?
You know I'm a big fan of the birthday weeks, man. It's
Yeah.
You got to show up for these things, right?
So you've been hitting her hard already, and I just said to you before we fired up the mics, this is supposed to be, you know, old enough to know better kind of thing, right? But apparently
well,
not
I also
with
told you.
You,
I'm old enough to forget the lessons I've learned at some other point in my life.
You know? Well, that old Garth Brooks tune, right? Old enough to know better, still too young to care.
Well, you got me on that. You know I'm not a Garth Brooks fan, but I do like that.
That's how dare you? Well, you're turning 35. You'll get into him here pretty shortly.
is that the age
you that's get, sort you of getting, what happens.
Should I expect that in the mail?
I got to tell you, man, because you know what? I hit the mark about 8 months ago, and it hurt more than 30 did.
Like I agree with you.
30's supposed to be this thing that, oh my God, my youth is over and whatever. And you're just kind of like, I don't know. I just sort of rolled through it. 35 was like, oh no. Like 35, you're supposed to have your shit together, right? And you're starting to push 40. Like that's the next thing. Like 35 was rough.
Yeah, oh, I'm with you. I'm glad you said that because I've had this conversation with a couple people and they think I'm strange by saying this, but 30 to me was great. I love 30.
Right.
30, you've kind of, you know, we've started our career. We've been out of school a couple years.
Right.
You're kind of just rounding into who you are. I felt really good about that.
Have a little bit of money to enjoy this new freedom and adulthood.
Exactly. Yeah. 35, all of a sudden, I'm like, I'm halfway dead. That's it. I'm fucked.
I think that feeling may have something to do with how hard you hit it last night. Is being half dead. So you got to be carrying on. I'm sure the party must roll on.
You got to just keep. You just got to keep rolling with it, right? Okay. And in honor of coming on today, I picked up. I went to Left Field Brewery and it was their 6th anniversary. So I got their 6th anniversary dry hop saison.
Okay.
I know you and Captain Blowhard were talking about. In a recent episode, you guys were talking about craft beers and people wanted to hear more about that stuff. So people want to check that out. It's a local Leslieville in Toronto beer just off Greenwood. Beautiful, beautiful beer.
How are you finding it? Yeah, you're digging it?
Yeah, it's a saison, which I don't usually love, but this one's not too hoppy as a dry hop. But these guys make some really good stuff. So if listeners out there can get their hands on some Left Field. I'm not sure how much they carried in the LCBO as I just go right to the brewery because it's down the street from my house.
Nice.
But if anybody's listening to Toronto, Greenwood and Girard, great little spot. There's always about 7-8 beers on tap. Good little place to hit up. Similar to Nita Beer that we went to in Ottawa.
Yeah. So there you go, folks. Another tip for Toronto because, it was on our Q&A show. People were asking us to hit a little more of the, across the province. So nice tip there for those of you local to Toronto. If anyone else got any suggestions, I got to tell you, man, right now, the keg is empty here. So I'm looking for something new to throw on. And, I like to do the craft stuff. So people can let us know at Talkin' Audio on Twitter. What else you think maybe I should be looking for here local to Ottawa and throw in the keg fridge. And we'll cover a bit more of that because I need to get that going again. You started your birthday weekend in a pretty cool way. And I think it's where we want to start. Friday night, DeMar DeRozan makes his return to Toronto, and you were there.
I like to think of it as DeMar came in for my birthday.
Obviously, that's really what happened. The birthday that you and Left Field Brewery share. You were in the building, man. I watched a good portion of the game on TV. The standing ovation that he got was pretty cool. And carried on throughout, much of the game whenever he was touching the ball. What was it like in the house, man? You know, it came across pretty good on TV, but you were there. Give us a bit of an insight.
Yeah, I mean, that was, I mean, everybody knew he was going to get the video montage, right? And, you know, and I think they just really, they went over and above with that. They really put something really nice together for him. I think I mean, he was always a fan favorite, but he was a guy who really embraced Toronto.
Yeah.
And because of that, you know, Toronto really loved him and the fans really loved him. To a fault, I think sometimes I've been on your show saying that, you know, amazing guy.
Yeah.
But we were never going to win a championship with him as our best player.
Right.
Right. So it was time to move on at some point.
Kind of that B level superstar.
Yeah. He, you know, the Chris Bosh style, like that we just needed to move on from as a franchise in the city.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean the city didn't love him. And that standing ovation went on for well over a minute. There was so many number 10 DeMar DeRozan jerseys out. At one point, I just aimlessly pointed my camera and took a picture and got about 7 DeMar DeRozan jerseys on my camera. It was wild. And like, you know, I hate the Raptors have a new jersey every year.
Yeah.
But there was every single jersey, right? There was the old Raptor jersey, the new one, the red one, the white one, the green one, the black one.
I love the green one, I got to tell you.
Yeah. You know, get the army green going.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure he was, I think it might have rattled him a little bit. His first time with the ball, he had to turn over that Kawhi picked off.
That's how the game ended too for him. So.
Yeah, so I mean, it was a little bit of a tough game. Kawhi, on the other side of things, really played well. He did just great defensively. I think after the first quarter, he had like something crazy, like 4 points, and then finished with 20 odd points, a bunch of rebounds, a bunch of steals, a couple assists.
Yeah,
I think he knew he needed to.
Well, he didn't have a great homecoming, right? When he went to San Antonio, the team got spanked. You know, and in his return, I don't even remember. Did he play? He played.
He did play. He did play.
They were not very good.
You know, and you know, there was also the Gasol brothers playing each other yesterday.
Yeah.
And Marcus Ole got into a little bit of foul trouble early on. Danny Green was also, you know, playing his former team, and he was shooting fairly well yesterday. It was a little bit more of an exciting game than I thought, to be honest with you. I thought we should have won by 7-8 points. We just could never really pull away from them, and you know, they ended up getting the lead for a little bit. And then obviously a very exciting fourth quarter, very exciting end to that game, with some really weird stuff about whether the Raptors stepped out of bounds or whatnot and having to inbound again, which was kind of a weird kind of finish to the game, but definitely kept us in our seats till the end. And, you know, some weird stuff. I think Nick Nurse got a technical at one point.
I saw that.
You know, it was a heated game, and it was
a strange, right? Given how often, and I mean, like, you're way more knowledgeable in this stuff than I, but it seems like every time I watch, Pop's going off on the refs, right? Like, yeah. And all of a sudden Nurse gets into it just a little bit and he's getting fucking called on it. So that was kind of interesting to me.
Yeah, he's definitely not getting Pop's always getting the grandfather discount,
sure.
On that, right?
Yeah.
Over 65 discount, and I guess he's just been there long enough that they just appreciate him.
Sure.
I suppose.
Yeah.
Right? Where Nick Nurse is still the new kid on the block, right?
Yeah, no different than your stars who have to earn it a little bit from the refs before you start to get all the calls, right? What did you think? To me, it reminded me a little bit of Sundin's return to Toronto, where he actually, and this didn't happen with DeMar, but Matt's actually got booed a little bit in his couple of shifts. And it was a slightly different thing because the team had wanted to trade him before and he didn't want to waive his no trade. And then he left in the summer as an unrestricted free agent, signed in Vancouver in December or whatever, and came back to Toronto in January. So what happens is they boo him a little bit. And then during the first TV break of the game, they play the video tribute and the whole place is standing up, going crazy for him, you know, whatever. And it goes on and on. And Mats comes in again to take the face off and kind of backs out because the crowd's still going crazy. And then Mats bears down and he's screaming at the official to drop the puck, right? He needs this to end. He's getting all emotional. And so the game goes to a shootout and Sundin is getting booed. The whole thing comes down to if he scores, Vancouver wins. And he's getting booed all the way in, and then he shoots and scores, and the crowd loses its mind cheering for him, right? It's this kind of weird dynamic of we love this guy, but we want to still beat you pretty bad, right? Kawhi, I didn't see Kawhi getting booed, but it was still sort of, we were cheering for DeMar. There was a bunch of, you know, there was the one in the introductions. There was the one when they did the video package. But then still the bigger cheers, obviously, when the Raptors are scoring and making big plays. It's kind of a strange dynamic.
Yeah, it was, how do I put it? I mean, it was just a very weird thing to even be at the game and to be experiencing that in person, where it's only the only other time I can think of it was when Golden State was really breaking out after their first championship win.
Right.
And everybody was cheering for Curry because Steph Curry was just hitting ridiculous half-court shots. He was just heat check moments, you know, one after the other. You know, you couldn't help but cheer for the guy. And I feel like this was very similar, but probably more similar to like what you're describing as Matt Sundin, right?
Yeah.
Where it is more of a homecoming.
And you're our guy, but you're playing our team.
Yeah. And again, I mean, like, man, maybe I'm just not sentimental enough, but at some point I looked at the people beside me and I was like, can we just stop cheering every time he touches the puck, touches the ball?
Yeah.
Like, he's not on our team anymore. Like, we gave him the ovation. Yeah. Can we move on? I did love, there was one play, I can't remember what quarter it was, but, you know, DeMar had the ball and Kyle picked the ball and tipped it and Kawhi ended up going in and taking an uncontested dunk.
Right.
And there was something very interesting about that moment, right? Because it was the two guys, it's his two best friends.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's Kawhi finishing that dunk.
Yeah.
Right? So, you know, as
this is our new guy, right?
Like, yeah. And as a fan, I'm like, oh man, that's such a weird moment, right? Yeah. Like that all three of those guys would be involved in a play in that way. Cause it was a very un-DeMar like move where he just, you know, he just got picked and fell actually to the ground.
Yeah.
he went down to the ground. So just a very weird,
did you see the comparison that DeMar made in the post-game comments?
No, I missed that.
He said, it's like the first time you're going to something, like the first time you're going to see your ex-girlfriend in a while, and you show up mad at her and whatever, and you're looking around and going, damn, she's still fine as hell, right? So he clearly appreciated the gesture. He was being pretty lighthearted about it, you know, in terms of trying to, you know, get in Kyle's face and stuff like that, and just his time around the city. But I think I'm a little like you. I'm down for the video package. I'm down for the ovation early in the game. And then let's get on with it, right? This is sports. I miss you, but I'm here to beat your ass now, right? So
that's it. You're on the other team now.
Yeah.
I mean, you're wearing the wrong jersey.
Yeah, for sure.
At some point, right? Like, that's why we traded him, right?
It's, yeah.
We loved you, but you were just never good enough to be that guy.
Yeah, now we love this guy.
Yeah, now we have this guy. We love him just a little bit more.
I wanted to talk, the main reason I wanted to do this show with you, to be honest with you, I had forgotten about the DeMar reunion, but was the announcement this past week that Georges St-Pierre was going to retire from the UFC. A couple of things to touch on here. I want to talk to you about your memories of him. I want to talk to you about his legacy. But one interesting thing was when it became clear that Georges was going to retire, I'm going to call him Khabib because his last name gives me fits anytime I have to say it. Any MMA fans know exactly who I'm talking about. Khabib, and I have to write it too in the show notes, so this is going to be an adventure. Khabib, who just finished fighting Conor not too long ago.
Demolished Conor.
Yeah, and that whole thing. He says to Georges online, I can't remember if it was Instagram or Twitter now, I think it was his Instagram, you know, when he words coming out that Georges is getting ready to announce his retirement, hey man, don't do it. You and me in November, then you retire. Georges said in his press conference where he was retiring that was interesting to him, that was something he was interested in doing, but that it was made clear to him that the UFC wasn't interested in it and they had other plans for Khabib. I got to tell you, I want to see that fight. We're obviously not going to. But to me, when your mind is sort of half on retirement and you've kind of made up your mind, seems like a real mistake to get in there with a guy like Khabib, right? And so many fighters have said this. If you're not totally still in this, you need to get the fuck out, right? Like, you're going to get hurt bad. What were your thoughts on that kind of thing, just before we get into George's legacy here as we move forward? Do you think that would have been a fight worth seeing still?
As a fight fan, I'm all into that fight.
Yeah.
I would have been all into George St. Pierre fighting Connor. I would have been all into him seeing him fight Khabib as well. There's a little bit of a weight issue for those two guys to try to make those things.
The other big one that had been talked about a little bit was Jones, which again, there was a major weight thing there that you'd have to meet in the middle somewhere, but
And you got with Jones, you have the added caveat. If you have to find a state that's going to fight, all those drug issues in the past. I would think that would maybe hold George off a little bit. He's always been very anti-doping.
Yeah, for sure. That was a huge thing
that way.
Yeah.
So, and that was one of the reasons he retired the first time, right? He said he felt unsafe with
it was too dirty. Yeah.
The lack of protocol, basically, right? So, I never really thought that was going to happen with how much trouble Jones had, but it would have been interesting to see Khabib fight with George's, just because, you know, you're looking at a guy who was the best fighter 10 years ago, who was never really beaten. And the guy who's the best fighter on the planet right now.
Right.
Or arguably the best fighter on the planet, right?
Yep.
So, I mean, I think as a fight fan, stylistically, they would have matched up really well together. Just some interesting dynamics there. I also felt like it was one of those, you know, these fighters do this shit all the time, where they know they're not going to have to fight somebody, so they'll throw a tweet out about it.
Sure.
Or an Instagram post to say, oh, why won't this guy fight me? And they know it's because, like, their management team won't let them fight or something.
Yeah.
So it did feel a little like...
I know what you're saying, because that happens a lot. Right? But I didn't get that from this. I genuinely felt like Khabib wanted this fight. He wanted to fight this legend before he hung him up. Absolutely, it happens where guys throw it out there to look tough or to be, look, I'm trying and this guy's not. You know, whatever it might be. I got to tell you, I didn't get that vibe here. I genuinely felt like Khabib wanted this guy.
And I mean, he's a crazy motherfucker,
for
right?
For sure, yes.
Let's be serious. This guy fought bears as a child. He's insane, right? Like, let's just call a spade. The man's insane. And there's always that thing about in the fight game, right? The young guys always need to beat the legends, right?
Yeah.
And this is the one guy who's been a legend. And, you know, yeah, he came back and he's retiring now, but he's literally been retired.
Pretty much.
Right? He came back to fight Bisping.
Yep.
Who's another guy who should have been retired. and George made him look that way. Outside of that, like, you know, I can't even remember his last fight before Bisping, to be honest with you, right? When he retired with the belt.
Yeah, that was all the way back against that crazy fucking... I forget his name now.
Was it Johnny Hendricks?
Yes.
Right? That was the one.
And that was the one where so many people thought Hendricks beat him, and they had a good point, right? Like,
and they had a very good point.
Yeah. Do you think there's anything to the... Just sort of my point on... George says he's going to retire, and then someone calls him out, and he's like, yeah, all right. I think that's dangerous, man. I think once you've decided that you're done, you probably should stay done.
Yeah, I don't think, you know, this isn't like, hey, I delayed my retirement 55 package to retirement 57, right?
No,
and I'm going to be an accountant for a couple more years.
Right.
It's not the same idea, right? This is another trained assassin trying to kill you in the ring. And you're right. You hit the nail on the head, Matt. It doesn't matter if you're in a boxing ring or you're in an MMA cage. There's somebody on the other side trying to kill you. So if you are not 100%, 120%
that's still
invested,
this other guy's life is to hurt you, right?
And that's all you're that only guy half is training in, for 6 to 8 weeks.
Yeah.
Right? He lives, breathes, and dreams about you. And if you don't do the same, you are going to get knocked out and hurt.
Yeah.
So I agree with you. I think the interesting thing is with George is, you know, he's retiring before the bad stuff happens.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? We're seeing a guy who's retiring the second time as a champion, even though they've already taken the belt away from him.
Yeah.
We're seeing a guy retire, hopefully with lack of brain damage, a guy who's still theoretically on his game.
And that's it. I think he's 37. We've seen guys fight well into their 40s, and some of them quite successfully. But, you know, rarely do fighters walk away on time. And
well,
that was
you,
one.
I'll give you the perfect example here, Matt. Yeah. Think about a guy like BJ Penn.
Yeah.
Who prodigy. Just, everybody just wants the guy to retire.
Yeah.
Except for BJ Penn. And he keeps getting in the ring.
Used to be one of the most feared, one of the most dominant champions ever. And you just hang around and you hang around and you hang around. And you're just not the same guy. And now everybody keeps taking pieces off your legacy, right? Like, it's time to go. Dana said, well, George St. Pierre said that Dana told him in a phone call when he announced his retirement, he said, most guys don't leave on time. You did. Now, there's a ton of stuff to be read into there. You know, Dana and George, especially over the last couple of years, have had this sort of on-again, off-again relationship. I don't know if Dana is maybe just happy to be done with him. I don't think that's totally it, as for business reasons, George is still a draw. So maybe he's speaking from his heart. Maybe he means it. But George, if he wanted to, if he was fully committed to this, he's young enough, he's fit enough, he could still get another couple of years out of this. But he's going to walk away before his legacy gets too tainted, and I respect that, man. I think that's cool, right? If you're ready to focus on your family and what's next in your life, good for you. But, man, we're talking about one of the best fighters of all time. We're talking about a guy who, before MMA had really become as big, or as it was becoming as big as it is now, won Sportsnet Athlete of the Year 2 years in a row over guys like Sidney Crosby and Steve Nash, and like in a sport that just wasn't putting stars out like that, right? He sold out the Sky Dome when they first started coming into Ontario.
And that was a wild card, right? I mean, we forget how massive that was.
Yeah.
I mean, they had to change the laws in Ontario for him to even fight here.
Right.
And then he sold out Skydome.
Yeah. Like they said,
which is no small feat, right? Like that's 50,000 people.
Yeah. And Dana said coming in, right? Like that Canada, people talk about Brazil, people talk about whatever, about being hotbeds for it. He said, nobody at the time was hotter than Canada for MMA. And they said, fuck the ACC to start going to the Dome. And they sold that son of a bitch out, right? So, and that's with George on top. That card, that first card in Toronto doesn't sell out a 50,000 seat building without George.
Oh, there's no way. There's absolutely no way. And it was the perfect storm, right? It was the best fighter on the planet, happened to be Canadian.
Yeah.
The biggest city in Canada. You know, I suppose if the Expos were still a thing and maybe you wanted to have it at the Big O in Montreal.
Sure, they could have sold that.
Similar.
Out. Yep.
But I don't even think that has the same vibe to it, right? Just with the floor seats and all that sort of plan. But
right.
Fantastic. I mean, just amazing that he was able to do that. I still remember watching that one on TV.
I was going to ask if you went to that one.
That one I didn't get tickets to. That was a tough ticket to get. And I'm pretty picky when I'm going to fights. I want to be in a certain vantage point.
Yeah, it was. There was going to be a lot of shitty seats in the Dome for a fight.
Yeah, not the greatest venue for much outside of baseball.
No. Yeah, but they were going for the spectacle, right? Look how many seats we sold, and good for them, they did it. But I'm with you. That wasn't going to be the best time to see it. I was actually in Vegas when that happened, and
oh, right on.
I was walking around on the Saturday night, and you know, looking to stick my head into one of the bars where they had it on, and later on went down to an MMA store in the kind of in behind our hotel where they were selling all kinds of gear. And the guy's looking at me and he's, oh, where are you from? I said, Toronto. He's like, what the fuck are you doing here this weekend, man? How many different fight weekends? You should come to Vegas. We come to you and you're down here, right? So that was kind of fun. But George is one of those guys who is known worldwide. Like, if you put a picture up in almost any country outside of Canada and the United States, I'm telling you, more people will recognize George St. Pierre than Wayne Gretzky, right? Than Joey Votto, right?
I couldn't pick Joey Votto out of a lineup.
Sure, but in terms of Canadian athletes that we think are top, Jacques Villeneuve was a huge one for a long time, right? Like Formula One is huge worldwide, whereas the NHL is huge here and in a little bit in Europe. George trumps all of those guys worldwide, in Australia, in Japan, right, in China, in Europe. George St. Pierre is in Brazil, a recognizable face. Whereas he would be kind of down the list a little bit in Canada, he's right at the top around the world of Canadian athletes.
Worldwide.
Yeah. What did
definitely. And just before we drop off that, I mean,
yeah,
I think we'd be remiss by not mentioning the fact that we actually did do the pilgrimage to Montreal,
yeah,
to the Bell Center with Captain Blowhard.
Yes.
And actually, that was the first time I ever met Captain Blowhard. To be
and
honest,
your life was never the same again.
Yeah, I immediately regretted that.
Yeah. I think it was November of 2014. It was the Carlos Condit fight. I know it was November. I think it was 2014.
Yeah.
That was Condit.
Oh, good memory. That's exactly it.
Yeah. And we had great seats there. We were first row on like the second deck, right? So you could see perfectly down into the octagon, or you could still, when you needed to, when they hit the ground, you know, jump up and hit the screen kind of above you. But man,
exactly,
that is as loud of a building as I have ever been in for any sporting event, was during that George's entrance during the fights when George was shooting for the legs, right? The crowd was unreal, louder than anything I'd ever been in, you know, I'd seen in Toronto at the Dome, at the ACC, at whatever, certainly in Ottawa. Loud.
I remember talking to you during the fight and our friend Holly, and just, I think, you know, tongue in cheek, we were saying to each other, you know, I hope the Montreal mob doesn't have something to do with this. Because there was one point where, you know, George just got kicked in the head.
Yep. Oh,
and
he was rocked.
Air just left the building.
Yeah.
And I looked at you and I looked at Holly and I'm like, how do I get us the fuck out?
Well, and because the crowd's got the Olays going and they're chanting GSP, GSP. And then, yeah, there's that one hard kick right to the head and the whole place just, oh, and it was like, oh my God. Oh my God. Are we going to see him lose the title here? But man, that was outstanding to see him in his hometown. And if you go back and watch that fight online, even Joe Rogan is yelling at Mike Goldberg, right? The two commentators, take your headphones off. You have to hear this. You have to listen to how loud this is. You will never see anything like this, right? And it was so cool to be there and kind of get.
And I would say, like, next to the Jose Bautista bat flip.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I've been at a spectacle that way.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure I've been at a place where the crowd noise has been that absolute insane.
Yeah, and that seventh inning with Bautista, things were crazy on both sides of it, the top and bottom of the inning. I think the difference for me would be, you were there, I was not, but the roar when Bautista hits that home run is probably louder, but this was loud for so long, right? It was sustained all the way through the entrance, all the way through the introductions, all the way through the fight. The crowd just going crazy for, you know, almost a 45 minutes to an hour. It just never let up. It was unbelievable to be, you know, to be in the house for that. The only one that might have rivaled it, I remember watching Matt Serra, right? The return fight after Serra stunned him. The return fight was in Montreal. That crowd looked to be every bit as jacked. Obviously, we weren't there, but man, this was insane.
And if I'm not mistaken, this was also his return fight from his ACL tear.
Yep, that's right.
So he had been out for 9 months, which kind of added a little bit of intrigue, like extra intrigue into that.
How's
fight,
he going
right?
to be? Right? Is he healthy? Is he ready to go?
Because I do remember him coming out and, you know, they get him on the camera in the back and he's faking limping around on his knee and smiling at the camera and stuff. And, you know, just a little tongue-in-cheek stuff. But always, you know, he was really a subtle showman.
Yeah.
You know, not in the Conor McGregor sense, but a little bit of a tongue-in-cheek type of guy. He was always great on camera. Like you said, big, huge star in other countries as well.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, like, I was lucky enough to have a brief interaction with him at an event that I want to say it was Bacardi sponsored. An imposing figure, but very friendly. And for a guy who was maybe the most dangerous man on the planet for a little while, his bouncers were far more intimidating than he was. I mean, we're talking about guys who probably make Brock Lesnar look small.
Yeah, all right. I remember being at that fight in Montreal, and you and I tried to make a last-minute run for a beer before the main event. And it was Martin Campman who was fighting, and I don't remember who he fought.
But oh, you don't remember? It was Johnny Hendricks.
Oh, it was Johnny Hendricks.
Yeah.
And that fight, like, we figured we got a little time to run, grab some beers before the main event. And doesn't that fight end in like a minute with a knockout? And so now the whole crowd is buzzing. You're like, oh my God, we may not get our beers in time. Right? We got to get back for this. Yeah, it was a whole thing, man. I wanted to talk to you a little bit about what you said there about him being, because he was a little bit of a showman. I agree with that. But Georges St-Pierre didn't talk a lot of shit to sell his fights, right? And one of the things that you see in boxing and in MMA, in the big video packages leading up, in the, you know, 24/7 style HBO specials, is guys who just talk a lot to sell their fights, right? Like,
yeah.
I either to paint the picture of hatred, or you say something so outrageous that people will lay down their $50 to watch you get knocked out, or hope you will, or whatever's going to happen there. That was never really George. He was always quiet, confident. Like, if someone was coming after him, he'd say what he had to say, but he would always defer to, I'll see you on Saturday night, right? I'll be there in the octagon. And he didn't, people just watched, right? And he always had huge pay-per-view sales. He always sold out buildings, and he rarely finished fights. Like, it went to the, but he was just so well-regarded as this well.
And in fact, I think he's got the record for the most five-round fights or like
title fights,
decision
yeah.
victories.
Yeah,
that's what I'm trying to say.
Probably
most decision victories. I think at 12.
So people weren't buying tickets and buying these fights based on the shit talk that was going on. That, you know, this WWE style pay-per-view sales. They weren't buying it expecting to see some spectacular knockout. You bought it because you knew he was the best and you wanted to see, is this the guy that might finally take him down? Or is this another guy that George is going to finish, right? He was just so good that you had to see. You don't see that a lot, man. It's unique that in that sport that he didn't have to hype everything up. He just would say, I'll see you Saturday night. And everyone was like, fuck, yeah, you'll see me too. I'll be there.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
and the really interesting thing with George and why he didn't have to do that, I think, you know, it goes to any, and I take this to a business talk here a little bit, but a guy who's that passionate and loves what he does so much and truly believes in what he does has a way of convincing you without saying many words.
Yeah.
He didn't have to do a sales job, right? That was kind of his thing. Like, he was just so good at what he did and was also very humble about it in a very traditional, you know, Mr. Miyagi sense of karate.
Yeah.
That, like, there was always this kind of like, oh, like, everybody just loved George's. Like, not many people didn't like George's.
Right.
And I think that's most people are polarizing, right? Most people want to tell you, I want to be loved or hated. I don't want to be in between. But everybody just loved George's. That was it. Like, and the fact that he almost embarrassed fighters.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking about guys who were champions, you know, Carlos Condit, Jake Shields, Johnny Hendricks, guys who have
Josh
been champions.
Koscheck, yeah.
Right? Koscheck, yeah. Guys who have been champions. But when George was in the ring, they looked like amateurs.
Yeah, and you could tell, like, he would spend his camps focused on your specialty, right? If you were a striker, everyone would say, oh, George can't stand with this guy. George can't strike with this guy. And then that's exactly what would happen for the first two or three rounds. And he'd land a couple of jabs. And he'd land a couple of shots. And like, oh, my God. And when the guy's reeling from that, that's when he would shoot for the leg and take you down and wrestle you, right? Like, there was talk in 2012 before London that George might step away from MMA and go with the Canadian Olympic wrestling team to London, right? He was so good at freestyle wrestling. And he could spend his time focusing on, okay, this guy's a BJJ guy, then he'll spend his time leading up to the fight on that, and he'll match you there, right? And
I forgot about that whole Olympic rumor.
Yeah.
Actually. But that actually had some traction.
Yes, it did.
At some point during that time period. And the funny thing was nobody said, oh, this is unrealistic.
No, this is stupid, George. You're going to get fucked up. Everyone was like, yeah, give him 6 months on the mats with those guys training. You can probably do it, right?
Right? Like, this wasn't CM Punk going into the
UFC. No.
Right? This was like, that hit the news wire, and I think everybody went, oh, okay.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Like, why not?
Yeah.
He does everything else. Why couldn't he do this?
He was just so good. Let me, you know, before we move off, George, do you think it hurts his legacy that he didn't finish more fights? People love the spectacular knockout or the tap out. People love to see fights get finished. We all get that. I'm one of those guys, to be honest with you. Do you think it hurts George that he was willing to fight you for five rounds and then leave it with the judges as often as he did?
I do think it hurts his legacy to the new fans.
Right.
And I don't think that's hard to imagine, because you're right, man. Everybody loves a knockout.
Sure.
Like, yeah, that's why everybody loved Anderson Silva, right? Like, he could just toy with you and knock you
over.
Speaking
of guys
to.
Who hung around too long.
100%. He was actually fighting last week.
Yes,
at age 42 or something. Yeah. And like, just
stop,
retire.
Dude. Stop.
Just stop.
Yeah.
Man, does it hurt his legacy? I don't think it hurts his overall legacy. I don't think he's always appreciated as a, you know, especially to the newer fans. People still talk about Chuck Liddell.
Yeah.
People still talk about Randy Couture. I don't know, especially outside of Canada, like you were saying, right? I mean, he won Canadian Athlete of the Year multiple times.
Mm-hmm.
Will he be remembered so fondly, or is it just going to be the true diehard fans who remember him, right? Is he going to be more of a Sugar Ray Leonard?
Yeah, it's hard, right? When the pay-per-view starts and they run that video package with all those spectacular highlights, you don't see a lot of him because he just didn't have a lot of that, you know?
He did have that really just – he's the one guy who actually perfected the Superman punch.
Yes.
Right? And he was the only guy I can remember who actually connected with it.
Well, him and Roman Reigns. Not so much.
Talk about athletes.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. No, it's true, man. Not a lot. Go ahead.
Is it gonna, so just, I mean, just to finish that point, you know, again, he's a little bit of the Sugar Ray, right?
Yep.
True fight fans will appreciate him. And as I'm saying this, I'm actually just remembering watching the two of those guys on TV at the same time. And I can't even remember what fight it was. I want to say it was a boxing event that they both happened to be on TV doing like a quick, you know, 10-minute commentary beforehand.
Sure.
And they had GSP on, and it was a U.S. station. And then they brought Sugar Ray out. And they wanted to talk to Sugar Ray. And GSP just hijacked the entire conversation. And was just, I mean, he was looking at Sugar Ray Leonard like he was a kid in a candy store. Like, right. That was, yeah. This was his idol, right? A guy who was technically sound, who was respectful, who, you know, won a million fights, just wasn't, he also wasn't Mike Tyson, right? You know,
right.
You're not Muhammad Ali. You're not the guy rhyming out there. You're not,
well, as we talk here a little bit, you even start to think of Mayweather, and maybe that's a better comparison for George, because Mayweather, despite everything he's done at this point in his career, which may or may not be over, people talk about his defense, right? And, not this big.
Oh God!
Not the knockouts. Not the whatever. It's that he will wear you down. He has a strategy for you, and that is almost more what George was known for, right? Than the raw power or the tap out ability. And it's not like he never did those things, but it was more this strategy. I got five rounds to make sure I'm on top most of the time, and then I'm going to make sure it was obvious enough. I'm going to hand it to the judges, and that'll be fine. And you know, Mayweather, it's a little bit different, but he's got a strategy for you. He's got a game plan for you, and he's going to defend against you, right? And,
you know, Matt, I gotta add this in. I don't know if anybody has access to these things out of your listeners here. If you have UFC Fight Pass, and I had it briefly, and, you know, you kind of watch the fights you want.
Yeah.
You don't always need to keep it because,
right.
You know, how many times you go back and watch the same
exactly,
fights. But
yeah.
If anybody has it, go back, watch some of George St. Pierre's fights before he gets to the UFC. If you want to see how good this guy was when he was younger, to just see the skill like discrepancy, to see why he was a phenom, right? You want to see him finish people? Go back, watch those early fights when he's a young guy trying to make his way through the ranks to the UFC. It's all available on UFC Pass. on the other side, and I mean, it's grainy video, right? Like,
sure,
it's,
yeah,
it's not 4K.
No,
I don't care what TV you got, Brandon Robinson. It does not matter. The other one, and I want to say I saw this on ESPN for Floyd Mayweather, but I'm sure you can find it on YouTube nowadays. Floyd Mayweather's first professional fight after his amateur career. Just as you're talking about this, as you're saying, you know, the defense that Mayweather has.
Right.
And how people talk about it. And listen, is Mayweather an asshole? Yeah. Is he a dick?
Yes. Yeah.
Is there some issues?
Oh, he's a terrible human being. He's a great fighter.
Like, he's a terrible. I mean, there was something last week about, you know, Gucci, the clothing brand, which is very popular among everybody who lives in Oshawa right now, from what I hear.
Yeah. What an asshole. Speaking of terrible human being. Fucking guy.
Sorry. Oh, man, I need a minute. So Gucci came out with a line of essentially black-faced apparel. You would have seen this online at some point. And I mean, anybody with an Instagram or Twitter account would have seen this stuff. So basically, anybody who's of any multicultural background is boycotting Gucci.
Yeah.
Literally the next day, Floyd Mayweather walks in. And, you know, TMZ's right there.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, I don't judge people for what they do. I just do me, you know? And you're like, oh,
fuck.
Why are you – I want to be your fan. Like, yeah. I want to buy TMT stuff. I want to be a Mayweather money guy. Just, why are you such a horrible person?
Right.
Like, it makes it hard for me.
Anything else on George before we move off? We got another controversial figure to talk about here in a second, but
we do. And you know what, man, George is always going to be, I think for guys, of our age,
yeah,
of our vintage, let's say, you know, we grew up at the right time to see him and the sport explode.
Yeah.
And you know, we grew up with, you know, the four big sports.
Yeah.
And this was the thing that came along and blew up, just changed the game a little bit for a number of different reasons. And he was the guy who really pushed it into the next hemisphere. He was the guy who was the first guy to be a true mixed martial artist.
Yeah.
Right. We didn't have the Randy Couture, who was kind of a dirty boxer wrestler. The Chuck Liddell, who was just a knockout artist. The Tito Ortiz, who was just the blonde haired bimbo. he married the blonde hair bimbo.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, you know.
You can find her online too if you want.
I think Captain Blowhard's
don't
got
do
that
it at work.
Tagged.
Don't do it at work.
Yeah, that's a not safe for work one. You know, it's just one of those. I mean, when we look back on his career, not today, but when we look back on in 10 years and 20 years, when we look back on the UFC, I know they did their 20th anniversary. When they do their 30th anniversary and their 50th anniversary, we're going to see a lot of George St. Pierre.
Yeah,
in those
I think
areas,
you're right. Especially those things where it's not so highlight based. It's more the 30th anniversary, the 50th anniversary. These are geared towards fight fans, right? You're not trying to bring in the casual guy and go, holy fuck, look at that knockout. This
oh,
is
yeah.
people who already love it. And those people know, fuck, that guy was the best, right? And this just isn't the same without him. Yeah. You know, sort of the thing that Canadians or especially are known for with our, you know, we have Roy Halladay on the mound, but we love John McDonald, right? Because he was kind of not shiny. He was not spectacular. He just did the gritty stuff, right? We love Darcy Tucker instead of Matt Sundin, right? Like the grinded out along the boards guy. And that was George. No knockouts, no tap outs. It was always just being that much better than you. Whatever you want to do, do you want to wrestle? Fine. Do you want to strike? Fine. I can be better than you at all of these things. And whenever they ring the bell on this and it ends, you'll hand me my belt back and I'll head back to the locker room, right? And I got a ton of respect for a guy who shows up, does his job, doesn't need to get himself all fired up, doesn't need to talk a bunch of shit, just, you know, does his job and carries on.
Does his job, right? You know what? I love how everything comes back to the Patriots, man. It's like Bill Belichick. Just do your job.
Yeah.
Just do your job, right? And that might segue you
Robert
into something.
Kraft. Don't do that job.
I mean, you don't even pay me enough to do these segues, but
yeah. I don't know. There's not a ton of info on that. Yeah, we might as well touch on it before we get over to Stroman. Robert Kraft, owner of the New England Patriots, has been charged with a couple of counts of visiting less than reputable establishments. And where it starts to get, you know, there's a certain amount of whatever, you creep, if you're just going to get a tug, right? It's getting uncomfortable in the fact that this apparently is staffed with people who've been, you know, human trafficked into this situation. There's some question about age. There's some, you know, there's a lot of not great stuff going on here. And the rules for etiquette, or whatever you want to call it in the NFL, if you can believe that's a thing, are actually more strict on owners and management than they are on players. So
yep.
I don't know how this is all going to shake loose. I know it's a pretty bad look at the moment for a team that most people are already pointing at and looking at for, you know, we just give me another reason to hate these guys. Here it is, I guess. I don't know. It's a bit of a mess, man.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a good look for the Kraft family in general at this point.
No.
And we'll know more about this as details kind of come out. So I don't want to, you know, spit my tongue off too much, but
that would cost him an extra 50.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh God. I mean. God. Okay. Here's what I'll say.
Sure.
An older rich male going to an establishment where he can exchange money for things that he wants to buy.
Yeah.
Is this newsworthy to anybody? Or is anybody surprised by this? We've got an 80-something-year-old man who was married to his wife for like 60 years. I mean, now he's got a 20-year-old girlfriend or wife or whatever it is. He's hanging out on stage with Cardi B. For an older Jewish man, he's just trying to get with it a bit. I don't know. Like, part of me when I saw that was like, let this 80-year-old man just do his shit.
Okay, and I was right there too. I didn't care at all until the
staffing other stuff starts
issues.
Coming out.
Yeah, and you're like, oh, this is bad. Fuck.
Here's the thing, Matt. I mean, there's going to be two sides to this, right? Do I expect him as a paying customer somewhere to know all of that? No. Is the type of place that he's going? Does he probably know this is all going on? Yeah. Probably. It's not you or I going to a strip club and then somebody pulling us up outside and being like, are you sure that stripper was 19 or was she 18?
Right.
Or in Captain Blowcard's case, was he 18?
Some creepy that, shit in Gatineau. Like,
you know what I mean? Like, he's not going to Zanzibar downtown Toronto, right? Like, he's just not walking into a strip club.
I think he's you can recognize the person performing these acts on you is 15 years old. I think you can probably tell.
Yes. Yes.
That's where he's going to end up in trouble here.
And yes.
But I don't know what that looks like, right? Like, how do you bar an owner? You force them to sell the team? How do you, like, what is the retribution here? I think this is gross. I think it's fucked up. I don't know what the legal system is going to do, but I don't think the NFL... By the time September rolls around, I don't think they'll have done anything.
I think they can, though, right? I mean, the NFL is a whole different ballgame, but we can look at the NBA as an example here. Okay, now, the NBA is a much more progressive sport, obviously.
But this is one of your pillar franchises. Robert Kraft is one of the signature owners in the league. I have a feeling that the team, if anything, gets placed in some sort of trust to his family or whatever, because I do think there's a chance Mr. Kraft is going to jail. But I don't think the NFL is going to do much. I think they're going to try and kick this under the rug, and it's going to look terrible. They're not going to be able to make people forget.
But I have a hard time thinking that they're going to do a whole lot with, you know, with this notable a franchise, with this high a level of owner, right? Like, it's not, I don't know, man. This is going to be messy.
Yeah, and man, fuck. As a Patriot fan, like, it sucks, you know?
Sure.
Like, imagine this was, I mean, to put it into the context for, you know, most of your listeners are hockey fans, right? So, to put into context, imagine, like, is Larry Tannenbaum still a guy? Is he still around?
Yes.
Imagine he's, or never mind. Imagine Mike Babcock gets, you know, put in this situation. What do we do, right? Like, we love the Leafs. They're going to the playoffs. They're in second place. They're the third best team in the league. We want to love them. But Mike Babcock has us, you know,
got, sure.
You know, it's a tough spot to be in because as a fan, you're like, but I love the team.
Yep. Well, we talked about this with Roberto Osuna.
But he's also part of the team, right?
Totally different. But if the Jays had held on to Roberto Osuna, what's my role here? I just want to show up and get away from my shitty job or whatever and cheer on the Blue Jays. But now am I supposed to potentially, if they hadn't traded him, right, am I supposed to show up and boo this guy? He's wearing my team's shirt, but he did some pretty terrible shit away from the field. Like, it does. It makes all of this, no one wants to show up to the football game on Sunday and wonder what their moral responsibility is. You just want to show up and watch your team do their thing. And this is going to be messy, and I think it is for a while. I saw a great line on Twitter this week that said something like, I don't know why anybody's surprised. If Tom Brady can pay somebody to deflate his balls, Robert Kraft should be able to do the same thing.
I mean, here's the thing. I mean, immediately when the news broke, you got to understand how Patriot fans are, right? I mean, we've got six championships.
Yeah, you're all assholes.
We're all assholes. We've all got shirts and avatars that have, like, the Thanos six diamonds on it.
Yes.
With, like, Tom Brady or Belichick's face on it. We embrace being the assholes. This is what we do. We're like the Eddie Guerrero of real life.
We cheat. We steal. Yeah.
You know, if you're not cheating, you're not trying.
Yeah.
Eddie Guerrero.
Yeah.
You know? Great line. It's how I live my life. And the rest of you are just losers, quite frankly. So
there's the Patriot fan coming out. Yeah.
When this broke, we all just went, oh, here's another thing.
Yeah, but this is a real thing. This isn't a football thing. Like,
no, but this, again,
we get to hate this guy.
Before all the other information kind of came out.
Yeah.
We all just, I had a bunch of messages from friends of mine and, you know, on Instagram, people sending me quotes and, you know, images. And we were all just like, ah, old man, just let him do his thing. It's fine. It's fine. Just let the old man. And then all this other stuff starts coming out and immediately you're like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
We need to reevaluate who we are as people right now.
Oh, you know, he's a patriot.
You know, and like, there's one thing, right? Like, cheat, steal, lie, whatever. Do what you can. If your team's not pushing the boundaries some way to win something,
yeah,
man, then you're the fucking Jacksonville Jaguars and no one gives a shit. Right? I don't care. And I don't feel bad for you.
Yeah.
But when it's stuff like this, like the Roberto Osuna stuff, and now this Robert Kraft stuff, and Floyd Mayweather, you know, beating women, and fucking Mike Tyson, you know, I talked about earlier, he went to jail for it.
Yes.
I mean, these are bad fucking people who we put on a pedestal. And, you know, you hope guys like Robert Osuna have learned and have changed their ways, but probably not.
Probably not, man.
Mike Tyson, maybe now that he's in his 50s.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe he's a different person. He seems to be a different person. He seems to have learned. But he had to also, going to jail didn't help.
No.
That just made him a worse person.
Yeah.
Then he started biting people's ears. He needed to lose all his money, his fame, to become a better person. It's right? True. Like,
yeah.
That's the reality. And now you've got me. Now I'm beer two, and I'm just raging.
Beer two. Like, yeah. You know?
But this is the problem, right? Like, are these people going to be rehabilitated? right? Are they going
to... Well, Robert Kraft's not. He's 80 years old. He's going to do what he's going to do. And if he goes to prison, he's going to die there, quite frankly.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
No,
so,
yeah. He'll probably have a cell right beside Donnie by the time this is all done.
Why don't we shift over and talk about something a little less fucked up before we wrap up your birthday edition of the podcast?
And since it's my birthday, I'll interrupt you one more time.
Sure.
I just switched over to the Left Field Brewery Burst Mimosa Brute
Mimosa.
IPA.
Wow.
Mimosa Brute IPA. It's called the Burst. 100% you can only get this at the brewery.
Okay.
It's 6.8%.
Nice.
It is a strong mother. this is supposed to go really well with Eggs Benedict, is what it says on the can.
Oh, yeah. A little breakfast. Mimosa beer. Sure.
I figure you want to know about this more than anybody else I know.
Honestly, yeah. How's it treating you?
It is. You know what? I get the mimosa on it.
Yeah.
That little bit of like the Prosecco kind of dry bubbliness to it.
Sure.
I'm going to take a little sip there. A little bit of an orange aftertaste to it.
Yeah.
I don't think you want more than one.
Okay.
But.
Cool to try.
Creamsicle.
Okay.
Creamsicle-ish.
Yeah.
To it, you know. I wouldn't say it's mimosa, but very creamsicle-ish. So a nice change. A nice change from the regular IPAs and ales and stuff that we're usually drinking.
Sounds like a member of the Blue Jays pitching staff also looking for a change. So I throw down another sweet segue. Marcus Stroman on opening weekend of spring training marched out in front of Toronto media and basically went off on a tangent on any number of things. Quite reminiscent of Jose Bautista's opening to spring training.
I'm glad you brought that up.
Two or three years ago, Josh Donaldson's last year. It seems like as we open camp every year, some of our top guys always have something to say about the situation or the organization.
Yeah.
Stroman had plenty to say. We'll share an article or two here at all the usual places at Tall Can Audio on Twitter, facebook.com/TallCanAudio. So you can kind of get a feel for yourself. But essentially, he's got a couple of beefs here. First and foremost, and to me this was the only one that really mattered and allowed him to go off on all his other ones, was that he has not yet been offered a long-term contract, at least not one that he would deem acceptable and worth signing. He also mentioned that he didn't believe that the Blue Jays or most of Major League Baseball were properly paying their players. I think there's some validity to that. But he talked about wanting more veterans around the Blue Jays, for the young guys to be able to learn from, just general dissatisfaction with the team, with the organization, with the management group. And
well, that sounds like me too.
Yeah.
Okay. Quite frankly.
Yeah, that's fair. But there is a lot of patting on the back. He's talking about, you know, I embrace the city. I embrace the team. You won't find many people who want to do that. That's something I wanted to do. I didn't have to do what I like. There's a lot of very Marcus Stroman type stuff in terms of puffing his chest out, trying to make his own case a little bit. There's a lot to unpack. What did you take away from the comments of a guy who it sure looks like is probably going to be dealt this season? What did you think?
How many ways can I unpack this for you? This might have to be a whole separate episode when you cut this, to be honest with you. Now you're going to be going about Marcus Stroman. Okay, how do I want to unpack this? Let me start with this. Number one, does Major League pay their players enough? We talked a little bit about this the other day. Maybe it was like 2 weeks ago. We talked about who was going to sign Machado.
Yep.
He finally got signed for an obscene amount of money by San Diego.
Yeah, $300 million over 10 years.
I mean, if I'm going to retire, I'm retiring to San Diego as well without the $30 million or a year. So, I mean, that's just a bonus at this point.
Sure.
For Machado. There's so much when we want to talk about the business sport, and you and I have talked about this on the podcast before, when it, you know, respective to certain players in sports. The interesting thing with sport right now is these teams make most of their money through TV revenue.
Yeah.
So even though MLB is posting record lows as far as attendance, the viewership is up.
It's true. TV contract money is up. Streaming money is up.
And that's exactly where I was going to go with this. They have not figured out how to monetize the streaming just yet. And let me put this on your plate, man. I want your opinion on this, because we've grown up with ESPN, TSN. And in Canada, it's four different types of TSN all showing the same goddamn show.
Curling
drives me nuts.
That. Yep.
But we pay for each TSN anyways, just in case. in Canada, so Sportsnet, CBC, you run the gamut. And we've traditionally, you and I as younger children saw Fox.
Yep.
Write huge checks to the NFL and MLB for the playoffs.
Yep.
Now you have YouTube. Now you have Facebook. Now you have Instagram. Now you have Twitter. Amazon Prime, Netflix. The list goes on and on, right?
Sure.
And Facebook's already started to offer free games for MLB.
Yep.
They're not doing this out of the goodness of their heart.
No, they are not.
What is Facebook going to pay? What is Facebook already paying? I don't even know. Maybe you know that.
I don't know what the number is, but they definitely paid to be able to show some games on their platform. Fans universally hated it, but MLB doesn't care as long as the check clears.
As long as the check clears. So here's my question to you, right? It's like, if we're having the same conversation, not in 10 years or 20 years, if we're having the same conversation in 2 or 3 years in Ottawa over a beer fridge keg.
Yeah.
Where are we watching the game? Is it on YouTube? Is it on Sportsnet? And how much are these guys paying? Because I can guarantee you, if YouTube or Amazon Prime or fucking Netflix decides to get into the the direct to market stuff.
Apple TV is launching their own.
They're going to pay.
Yep.
They're going to pay. And we might have to pay that $10 a month to then access that. That's me saying this. Do you feel the same way about that?
I do. I think there's a real chance of that. I think we've already started to see it, right? At one point, everyone got Netflix, and Netflix was fine. It had everything. Well, Disney goes, hey, fuck, if they're giving you $10 a month, we're going to take all our Star Wars movies, we're going to take all the Disney titles, and we're going to put that on its own, Disney Netflix. So that won't be on the normal Netflix, so you're going to pay Disney $10 here, and you're going to pay Netflix $10 over here, and then maybe Universal decides they'll do their own thing, so it's $10 there. NHL package is $20 a month, MLB's another $20 a month. Like, this is going to happen. It's already started.
And this is the remarkable thing, right? Like, I mean, I don't want to nerd out on this, but this is actually really, talk about capitalism at its best.
Yeah. And then you're going to be paying every bit that you ever paid for cable.
We're just paying it in chunks.
Yep.
Right? We're just paying in small chunks now.
Yep.
So to wind this back to Marcus Stroman, are they getting paid? No, they're not getting paid. Because if YouTube or Facebook is going to sign a $1 billion check, and Marcus Stroman can't even get a $7 million or a $10 million contract. And no, he's a number two starter.
This is
on a championship team. Let's not be silly.
Coming off a 5.5 ERA year.
I think a lot of that had to do, and don't get me wrong. Like, listen, I'm a Marcus Stroman stan. Like, I'm going to be with that guy. I'll wait for him to round out a bad year.
Yeah.
He had an awful year last year. I think a lot of
And I like Stro too, but we got to see, right? Like, if the Blue Jays offered him right now a 3-year deal worth $45 million, the fan base would go, "You're fucking stupid. He hasn't earned that."
No.
But if they offer him a 3-year deal worth $15 million, he's going to be insulted. I'm not signing that. You haven't offered me a serious deal. So what is this guy right now, right? Like, you can't offer him a long-term deal because he's coming off the worst season of his career.
And they're aside from the fact that they want everybody to show up but don't want to pay a dime for anybody right now.
Yeah.
I mean, they're in a tough spot because I think they thought Aaron Sanchez was going to be the guy.
Yeah.
They had him pegged.
Yep.
And
coming
the problem
off
was
his own problems.
He has not pitched.
Right.
He is not a durable guy.
So
he's AJ Burnett all over again
for us. That's a bad word.
I'm more talented AJ Burnett. And so, don't get me wrong, AJ Burnett was a fine pitcher. He just signed a big contract in Toronto.
So I'm curious then, because we've kind of been around the map here a little bit in terms of streaming and where the money's coming from. And do you think Stroman's frustration with not being offered a long-term contract, I don't know what that looks like. I don't know what you offer him that is responsible for the team and that he goes, yeah, that's fair. I think.
Well, sorry, Matt. Like, and not to, I don't want to interrupt you, but I kind of do because.
Sure. I get
here's
that.
The issue. And like.
The guy who normally sits across the fucking table who does it. Why shouldn't you? I'm used to it.
The digs on Rob today are amazing.
I'll just sit here and drink my beer. You go ahead.
In a normal team structure, you go in hockey, right? You go, here's my number one centerman, here's my number two centerman, here's my number one winger, and you just structure it down from there.
Yeah.
In baseball, you start with your star player, your MVP, your third baseman, your left fielder, whatever it is. If you're Toronto, you just let those guys walk away for nothing. It's your dicks. Or your starting pitcher, right? And this is what's going to happen, right? Like, every team would love a left fielder who can hit 50 home runs, a third baseman who can hit 40 home runs,
sure,
and a starting pitcher. Toronto's going to let them all just walk away, right? Because they don't want to pay them the money that we pay Rogers for everything else.
To be fair, I totally agree with you. But this is not just the Blue Jays, and that's half the problem, right? Is most teams aren't willing to. You have 20 teams right now going, we're going to go cheap and young. We're 20 teams fucking rebuilding and going, well, we'll
it's
try.
It's not a good look for the league.
Right. Like it's right not, now, so, are you going to the home opener?
No way.
Okay.
And I know where you're going with this because I saw your retreat, but please tell everybody else.
Yeah. So essentially right now, the home opener is thousands of seats away from being sold out.
Which has never happened.
No. It's always been a hot ticket. I've been to a bunch of home openers, even when I knew the team was going to be shit and we're leading off with Rajay Davis and whatever the fuck else is going on. You go to the home opener because it's a blast. You also go because maybe in the fifth deck you could pay $11 for a ticket. Here, they have brought in what so many sports teams have brought in, which is dynamic pricing. The big games, right? When you go here in Ottawa, games against Toronto and Montreal cost one thing. Games against Carolina cost something very different. So the Blue Jays have brought that in. The Yankees and the Red Sox are one level, whatever. But the home opener is one level. That opening weekend is a big deal, and they're going to charge more. So they are thousands and thousands of seats away from being sold out. They're telling people, not yet, but they will, that their best player, maybe in franchise history, is being sent to the minors for 3 weeks so they can save a couple of bucks. But you can come to the home opener for $50 to sit in the back row on the fifth deck to watch a team that's not trying to win. Go fuck yourself. And it will not sell out until that shit gets down to like $12 a ticket on the secondary market. And that's exactly what should happen because this team is not acting in good faith. It's not trying to win for its fan base. And the fan base has every right to go, yeah, then call me when you decide you're serious and maybe I'll get serious.
And I listen, I've been saying this about the Blue Jays for 3 years. And the only game I went to last year was to go see Jose Bautista.
Right.
And you're talking to a guy who threw money at the playoffs and to see Bautista and to see Marco Estrada in the playoffs. And I was loving that whole, as were you.
Everybody, the whole country.
Everybody. Last year, I decided I wasn't going to give them my money anymore.
Yeah.
I wasn't going to give them my viewership anymore. I wasn't going to watch their ads. I wasn't going to click on their links, any of that shit. I made that distinct decision because as a fan, I could see what they were doing.
You broke the trust.
When you let a guy, you know, in successive years, you let Edmund go for the same price you could have had another guy.
Yeah.
You let Jose go. And you say what you want. Jose's not the guy he was.
Sure.
And yeah, he wanted a contract that was unreasonable. You know who else did? Derek Jeter.
Yeah.
And you know what? The Jays can afford to just pay the guy to sit this and let, is, if we're not going to compete, you're telling me who do we even have out there? Grichuk? I don't even know how to say a guy's name. And nobody does. Nobody cares. you wouldn't rather have
if you're awfully mean to
Jose Bautista out there and just pay the man? You know what you're going to get out of Jose Bautista? That's brand loyalty, right? You're just paying the man. You're letting other players know you're going to take care of the guys who took care of you.
But let's
and more than that, how many guys our age, how many kids are just painting their face with a beard and going to the game and buying Jose Bautista jerseys and going to buy Jose Bautista hats and all the other shit that we do because it's Jose Bautista because he hit one goddamn home run that changed the entire universe.
I think for me, man, because I dig your passion and I know you're a Jose guy, but let's assume that I'm okay. You gave him an extra year. It didn't go very well. You let him go. All that sort of stuff. You really couldn't find the money to bring back Marco Estrada this year. You couldn't find the money to hold on to Jay Happ. Like, this come on. Just to be competitive. Just show me something.
I'm using Jose as a barometer on it.
Yeah.
Right? But the reality is that showed me that this management team, this ownership team was not serious about the fans, let alone competing.
And this is right? the thing because across Major League Baseball, man. And I said it, and it sounds so naive. It sounds so cheesy, but they broke the trust. You broke the covenant. That's how sports works. If you want my money, I have to believe you want just as bad as me for this team to win. And I understood when the Leafs needed to rebuild. I understand when this needs to happen in sports. You can't have 20 of 30 MLB teams all saying the same thing. We don't believe we can win this year, so none of us are trying. We're not even selling guys or trying to sign guys. Bryce Harper, at time of recording, is still sitting out there unsigned. And if the Blue Jays signed him today for $30 million per season to play left field where they need help, they would still be $30 million under what they paid in salary last year. And he would be here in 3 to 4 years when all your, hopefully, prospects have come up, they're ready to help be there. Harper would still be. So,
can you imagine a 3-4 lineup? Just, you want to go down. I don't even care. You and I could bat.
Right.
1-2. If you have Harper and Vladdy bat at 3-4.
That's what I'm saying, man. You don't wait. He's not going to be there in 3 or 4 years. I don't know that if the Blue Jays called tomorrow and went, here's $30 million times 10 years, if he'd come. Probably not. Probably not.
No, 100% he is. Well, we just saw Manny Machado go to San Diego.
That's fair.
Santiago.
And that would
the whale's vagina.
Spanish for a whale's vagina. You know what? You might be right. Maybe he would. Maybe it is all about the money. You don't wait until everything is perfect and then try and get that guy. You get that guy.
Oh, and then let the thing. I am so happy you're on that same vibe as that, because that is. I remember when Prince Fielder.
That's a perfect example.
That was one that almost came back to bite the Toronto Blue Jays on the ass, because when he was available, the Jays came out and said, "Well, you know, he's the type of guy we're looking for, but in a couple years."
Yeah.
And then we played them in the playoffs.
Yep.
And I'm like, you know what would be great? Not Lyle Overbay right now.
I like Lyle Overbay. Don't hate on Lyle Overbay.
That's who I want. So
I get Stroman's frustration, right? He's feeling, and he's looking around. Dallas Keuchel's still out there. Similar guy. Better than Stroman, but similar.
Yeah.
Hasn't gotten his money, hasn't gotten his long-term deal, and he's got to be a little worried. And if he can talk the Blue Jays now into giving him that money, he doesn't have to worry about all of that coming up. But they're not going to bite, and they're going to deal him. They're going to deal him.
To go back to your breaking the covenant,
yeah,
they've broken the covenant with their players. They've broken the covenant with their team. They've broken the covenant with their fans.
Yeah.
Right?
You're not trying.
Because it's so easy right now to make the playoffs in MLB.
Well, easier than it ever has been. Yeah.
If the Toronto Blue Jays, sure, yeah. But if we just went out and signed Keuchel and Harper, we probably are going for a wild card.
Yep. You'd be in that race. You could tweak here and there.
And that's giving us literally three legitimate major league stars, right? Like, we got Vladdy, who everybody is kind of understanding is going to be a star. You and Rob were talking about what you guys are expecting of him in a recent podcast. He's going to be a 300 hitter.
I think so too.
Over his career.
I think he'll be one this year.
Based on what he's got the exact same swing, the exact same anticipation as his father. He's a little bit of an oddball hitter, just like his father, which kind of throws the pitchers off. He puts balls in play almost like a cricket player.
It's true. Just golfing shit out.
Yeah. Like, I don't know anything about cricket, but the man just puts the bat on the ball.
Yeah.
Right? Hopes for the best. He's not trying to necessarily hit a home run all the time. He's just big and strong enough that he hits a lot of home runs.
Yep, it's true.
You guys were talking about, I can't remember which, whether it was you or Rob said, you know, 20 home runs is like the barometer.
For his rookie year, yeah.
25 this year, 85 are Ribby's 300 hitter. That's what he's going to be.
Okay.
This year.
I like it.
I mean, when he wins his MVP in 3-4 years. Maybe 5 years. Yeah, and now we're talking about a 320, 50, 40-plus home run, 120 RBI season. And he'll do a couple of those, probably for the Yankees once the Jays trade him away. But for somebody, anyways.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll trade him to the Washington Expos.
Oh, fuck.
Just for fun.
That'd be all right.
Can we get rid of our GM, by the way? I fucking hate that
Doesn't
guy.
Doesn't sound like it. Fuck. Condescending prick.
Right, and it's... Just to, I know we've really tangented more than we normally do on this one, but we're just saying a lot for you and I.
Yeah.
Marcus Stroman. Here's the problem. The problem is Keuchel is a better pitcher and still isn't getting paid.
Yep.
Which goes back to the point that you made, which is teams don't want to pay somebody because they want to actually finish last.
Yep.
And to Marcus Stroman's point, people aren't getting paid. And to what I was saying, Major League Baseball is going to get a huge goddamn check in the next 5 years. And these teams are almost
from one of these online companies. Yeah.
Collusively being non-competitive.
Yeah.
Right? And this is the issue. It's not that Detroit wants to be a bad team this year, Toronto wants to be a bad team this year. That's fine. But as a collective, like you said, when 2/3 of the league says, fuck it.
Not trying to win. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's collusion.
Yes, it is.
I'm sorry. Like, that's
the strange thing here is that so many people
getting his money,
but so many people here are angry at Stroman. Now, part of that is because of the way he is and his reputation for how he acts sometimes and how often he speaks out. But across baseball, what you just said to so many people is going to come off as crazy as shit. The guys aren't getting paid when the league minimum is $650. So many people will look at it and go, if you're making $3 million a year to play baseball, shut the fuck up because you've got a dream job. Okay. What that's doing is siding with billionaires over millionaires.
But that's what the media does to the general
public. But not even the media, man. I'm just saying we have this weird thing where we look at guys and go, fuck, you're making $3 million to play on the third line of a hockey team or be the number 7 hitter of or whatever it's going to be, you should just be happy. And you know what? There's some truth to that. But if that guy, according to the market, should be making 6, he gets to say something. And it's so weird to me that we would rather side with billionaires because we're angry at millionaires, right? Because a millionaire spoke out. And it's no different than any other union. It's no different than any other, you know, employee-employer relationship. And most of the time, people don't side with the employer. But in sports, so often they do. And it's just weird, man. Like, I don't want to hear Stroman talk about being underpaid. But he is. Like,
but he is.
He is. According to the market, he is. But it's weird to hear that guy talk about being underpaid, and you're like, holy fuck, man. Like, it just puts fans in a weird position.
When you're dealing with teams that are getting billions of dollars from a TV right, and the players are just asking for a couple million,
yeah,
this is the equivalent of everybody in Ontario asking for a $15 minimum wage, and Fordsy going, no, y'all get $14.10.
Right.
You know, I'm not giving you $15.
Just gonna hold you down here just a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? You guys can't eat well. I'm gonna give you $14.
Right.
Not $15.
Yeah.
That's exactly what this is. But the same people that get upset about the minimum wage in Ontario are unfortunately the same people who generally get upset that Marcus Stroman wants to get paid a couple more million from a billionaire.
Yeah. People aren't able to scale it properly.
It's a scaling issue. Yeah. It's a scaling issue, and it's also a media issue, and it's how it gets portrayed, right? And the problem with teams like Toronto.
It's owned by the station that covers it.
Take the words out of my mouth, why don't you? Right? And we've seen this. This is something I wanted to touch on. In 3 years in a row, because you said it yourself, right? Every year there's an issue in spring training.
Yep.
Jose Bautista on his way out. Josh Donaldson on his way out. Marcus Stroman on his way out. Pick the next guy for me next year. Kevin Pillar.
I don't know. Yeah, could be.
Right? Next year after that, Aaron Sanchez.
Ryan Tepera.
I don't know who it's going to be.
Why not?
I mean, I don't care about Kevin Pillar that much, but he's a fan favorite, I suppose.
Randall Grichuk, who you teed off on earlier.
I just can't stand him.
Handsome Randy. Leave him alone.
Yeah. Like, if we're just giving MLB jobs out for being pretty, where's my check?
I don't think you really want me to answer that. You know, on your birthday and everything.
Yeah. At least a minimum wager. Come on.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, you know what, man? It's interesting, and we'll see how this is all going to shake loose throughout spring training. But he's always been outspoken, as Marcus Stroman, and I think he made some fair points, but I think he also makes some fairly pro-Marcus Stroman statements. You know, he's clearly trying to rally the fans behind him when he says stuff like, I embody Toronto, no one else wants to do this. I'll do it, though. And we just started the podcast by talking about DeMar. You know, there are guys who are willing to do it, who do want to do it. There's a lot of stuff that Stroman says that is very pro-Stroman. But I think he made some good points. And I don't think management loved it very much. And I don't think this relationship is going to last a whole lot longer.
Well, I also don't think the relationship between myself and the Blue Jays is going to last a lot longer. And I actually put that on you as well. Like, are you going to be, I know, you know, summer is a time where it's a little dry. There's not much to watch outside of baseball.
Yeah.
But are you going to be excited about it this year? I can't get excited about, we're going through a,
I want to see Vlad.
I want to see Vladdy too.
Yeah.
But I can also just watch the highlights on Twitter.
I don't see me buying tickets this year. Most years I buy a hat. I know a little bit of that goes back to the team. But really, I'm just a hat guy. I like to collect them.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
I'm not excited.
By the way, on that moment, lids.ca, the 2016 spring training hat.
Yeah.
$6 right now.
$6.
$6. I know.
It's not a $59.50, is it?
Ooh, no, it's a fullback. It's a fullback.
Because I don't like those wide bills. That's the problem.
No. It's the batting. It's almost that mesh, navy blue mesh with the maple leaf on the front.
Yeah, okay, I've seen those.
As opposed to the Blue Jay.
Yep.
Yeah, it's the maple leaf. Nice hat. Any of your listeners, lids.ca right now, there's like, I don't know, something stupid like 300 hats for like $6.
Well, I'm going to have to check that out.
little tip from Polly, actually.
Yeah, I have to beat them to, before I'll go check it out before I post this so that they can't get ahead of me in line.
Yeah, not a lot of Maple Leaf hats, unfortunately, but tons of Senators hats.
I'm going to get myself a nice Albuquerque Isotopes hat, I think. It's going to be a good look for me, man.
Match your Ken Griffey jersey.
Nice. Of course. Why don't we wind this one down? I know you have further birthdaying to do. I don't want to hold you up too long, but man, tons going on. I am intrigued to see where the Strowman thing goes here. How bad it severed the relationship. Does it speed up look, the Jays can't just turn around and trade him because they're pissed off because his value's too low. They have to let him go out and pitch a few games, see if he can rebound a bit and see how things are going to look. But I think come, you know, mid-June, if he's doing anything that looks even remotely good, he's gone.
Fuck. I hate being a Toronto Blue Jay fan. Like, this is just like, this is actually making me upset, this whole discussion.
We've ruined his birthday, ladies and gentlemen.
We've just, like, destroyed my birthday right now. I'm going to post a picture of my Marcus Stroman jersey in a minute that I will tweet out in a minute. So people will see this a little bit later.
There you go. At Matthew Lang on Twitter. At Matt Does Physio on Instagram.
At Matt Does Physio on Instagram. Man, this makes me so sad. Just talking about the Blue Jays, talking about the fact that we don't want to play the guys who are our only players. I agree. Marcus Stroman's on his way out. He knows it. Yeah. We know it. It's like, man, to go back to DeMar, what we started this on. It's like when you know you and your girlfriend or you and your partner are going to break up. But you're just going through the motions through Thanksgiving, Christmas, because you got to get through that season before you can
break up.
You're
ripping her on Twitter while you're tweeting at the bank.
Right? Yeah.
For those of you who might be following Maddie on Twitter.
I mean, I'm always good for a good.
You that cracked me up anyway. Yeah.
You got to wait for the digs.
Yeah. It cracked me up. Why don't we wind this one down, my man? Appreciate you doing this on your birthday of all days. We know you got better shit to do.
Well, you know what? When you sent me a message yesterday, I couldn't have thought of a better thing to do on the afternoon of my birthday, having a beer. I want to chat with you anyways.
Well, there's tons to cover here, right? And when the owner of your football team decides to do some creepy shit, we got to get on the mic and talk about it. So,
I'm your go-to fight guy, football guy, basketball guy, and creepy guy. which only concerns me because you also have Rob.
It's true, but we're going to title this episode Go-To Creepy Guy. But on behalf of all the TCA holes, Maddie, happy birthday.
Thank you.
We appreciate you doing this. The rest of you can, as I said a few minutes ago, follow Maddie on Twitter at Matthew Lang, on Physio at Matt Does Physio. We are on Instagram and Twitter at Talkin Audio. Got some stuff there that we're getting some mixed reviews on our most recent post on Instagram, so you can check that out.
One second, Matt. Sorry, yeah. I'm going to jump in.
Sure.
Please, if you don't even follow Matt Does Physio on Instagram, check it out. Last post on Zion with the Nike shoe blowing up in a big Duke NC game.
Yeah.
Huge. So we have a little post on that, on type of injuries he could have had versus what he actually had. And more of that good sport injury stuff that we keep bringing for you guys.
That'd be awesome. You can, like I said, that's at Matt Does Physio on the Instagram. We're going to let Maddie go and enjoy the rest of his birthday. We'll catch you all on the next episode of Talk and Sports.
Listening. You can get more TCA at TallCanAudio.com or by searching TallCanAudio on your favorite podcast app.